If you're in children's church, if you're 4th to 5th grade and you're heading out, you can head out now for that. Everyone else in here, we're going to be continuing our series in Ruth, so you can turn there to Ruth chapter 2. If you're a visitor, or you don't have a Bible on you, you should have some Bibles in the pew in front of you. Towards the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So it'll be right towards the beginning of your Bible there. We just started walking through the book of Ruth last week and in chapter 2 this morning. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we know our brother, the Apostle Paul, said these Old Testament stories were written as examples for us, as instruction for us, so that through the encouragement they give and through instruction, we might have hope, that we would keep enduring in our faith. And Ruth is such a story like that. So, Father, help us this morning to see, as we saw last week, no matter where we've been in our lives, the most important thing, even right now, is that we come back to you, God. And with you, there is abundant, overflowing, endless kindness. So thank you for this text today. We pray you make much of your son through it like you love to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you go to the grocery store, what do you expect to find? Not a trick question. Food, right? You go shopping on Black Friday, what do you expect to find? Craziness, whatever. Presents, that's all mixed in. When you go to the DMV, what do you expect to find? Depends. I won't say that out loud in case we have DMV workers in here. But what do you expect to find when you come to God? When you come to God, what do you expect to find? What's your heart's response to that? Is he too busy for us? Is he too harsh for us? Is he too distant for us? Is he just a killjoy for us? What do we expect to find when we come to God? We saw in our text last week, all of us in our own hearts have been away from God. We've all gone to Moab like Naomi and her family. We've all gone after other things looking for fullness, for fulfillment. But the most important thing any of us can do, whether we follow Jesus for a long time or right now for the first time, is to come back to God, to turn back to God. No matter where we've been, that's the most important decision we can make. And we saw that last week, to return to God is costly, but it's a matter of life and death. To come to God through Jesus Christ means you leave everything behind, all your allegiances to other things, and come to him alone. It will cost you a lot. And it's a matter of life and death. But all of us in our lives, we come to a point, maybe many points, where we're just walking life's journey and God brings us to our senses. Something happens. Maybe he takes away something that was an idol for us that we were going after. Maybe we're just not happy and fulfilled. And we come to a point on the road where we're aware of our life being empty and we have a choice to make, to go back to those things, to go back to where we were away from God, or to come to him. And that's what repentance is. When we hear in the Bible, we read the text that Chet read about repentance, John the Baptist preaching repentance. Repentance is turning from our sin and having sorrow for it, having sorrow for going after other things, and turning to God by faith in Jesus Christ. So whether you're a believer who's wandered, whether you're a brand new believer in Christ, some of you might be, whether you're a visitor and you had never heard the gospel before, you're considering what it might be to follow Jesus, this text today will be important to you. Just like the prodigal son, wherever you've been, you can come back to God, but you will come back to him empty. But as we'll see today, even for those who come to God, everyone, all of us, come to him empty. We see that those who return to God will find endless kindness. What can we expect to find when we come to God? Endless kindness. So let's look at our text today, Ruth chapter 2. Remember where Naomi and her family had been in the desert? Naomi's husband, both her son-in-laws died. Ruth comes back to her. She says she has a bitter existence, a bitter life. That's how she describes it. And then we enter into chapter 2 here. Let's start in chapter 1, verse 22, just for a little context. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseers of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work with me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley floor she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the woman who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the woman of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Those who return to God will find endless kindness. So if you're a follower of Jesus, or you're a brand new follower of Jesus, or maybe you're in your heart counting the cost of what it might be to follow Jesus, it's important to remember the stakes are high. Ruth and Naomi left, Ruth in particular was a Moabite woman from a distant land, And she's back now in Bethlehem, which isn't her homeland, and she left behind everything to come to Naomi and her God. And it might be surprising when we come to God where we find God's endless kindness. That's another question to think through. When you come to God and find endless kindness, where do we find it? This text here today points to we find it in God's people. You might think Christians, you might know hypocritical Christians. Welcome to the club. Everyone is a hypocrite. But God's kindness for those who return to him comes to them through his own people, his covenant people. In this chapter, chapter 2 here, Boaz really is the main character of the story. He's in verse 1, a man of standing, meaning he's a man of integrity. He's probably wealthy, but this is probably pointing to his character. We see how he's focused on living for the Lord. As soon as he sees his workers, he addresses them, "The Lord bless you, the Lord be with you." We see how he's concerned for the vulnerable in this passage. He's concerned for Ruth, this woman who had lost her husband, has no protector, no provider anymore. And in case we forgot, Ruth is a foreigner. Over and over again, did you hear as I read? Ruth the Moabite. Ruth the Moabite, just in case we forgot. The author reminding us over and over again that she's Ruth the Moabite. She's here in the promised land in Bethlehem with no protection, no provision, looking for it amongst God's people. Those who return to God will find endless kindness amongst his people. And Ruth isn't just finding kindness here because she showed up to a soup kitchen, right? She's not just showing up somewhere where they're giving out free stuff. It's because she's come to God's people and because God's people live a certain way. It's not just because she's come to God's people, but because God's people live a certain way. They live according to God's law. And because of God's law, Ruth, this woman from enemy territory, is able to come into the fields and glean, pick up food for herself. So this is from Leviticus, a book in the Bible that has a bunch of God's laws. This is in a section that's all about loving your neighbor. Listen to this law here from Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very edge of your field or to gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the resident alien. I am the Lord your God. So you see, it's not just because Ruth has come here and ends up in this field and is picking up scraps. Ruth is finding kindness among God's people because God's people here are living according to his law. They're living God's way. They're loving their neighbor as themselves. This is possible because Boaz loves God. He's a man of standing. He's focused on the Lord. He's focused on caring well for his servants. And so Ruth finds kindness among God and his people because they're living according to God's law, loving God and loving their neighbor as themselves. If you come to God in the same way as Ruth does, by faith, you will find the same thing. And you'll find what Ruth had among God's people. You'll find provision for whatever needs you have. You'll find fellowship for your loneliness. And you'll find protection from the world, from those who might try to take advantage of you. If you're in a vulnerable circumstance, you will find kindness among God's people. Ruth says in this passage in verse 10 that she's found favor in Boaz's eyes. Favor, you probably saw that word pop up a couple times, or grace. That's the same word in Hebrew for grace. Found grace in Boaz's eyes. And was it because Ruth deserved it? I don't think it's because she deserved it. She was a foreigner from enemy territory, remember. This wasn't like, she wasn't coming from New York to New England, we said last week. She was coming from ISIS territory, where she used to worship foreign gods, and is now in God's promised land. So it's not that Ruth deserves this grace, this favor that comes towards her, but notice what Boaz says about her in verse 11 and 12. Ruth asks, why does he have such favor on her? And listen to how Boaz replies. He says, I've been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So why does Boaz have favor towards this woman from enemy territory? It's because she's come to take refuge under God's wings. And did you hear hints of even Abraham's promise there, the promise Jesus refers to? What did Ruth leave behind? She actually left behind her mother and father, he said. She left behind her home. She left behind what was most important to her, to follow God and to be amongst God's people. Over and over in this passage too, Boaz tells Ruth to stay close to the woman, to cling to the woman. The same word used with covenant language all over the Old Testament. So Boaz sees that Ruth is following God, and he asked even God to pour out Abraham's reward on her. Do you remember what Jesus says that reward is? No one's left, mother, father, brother, sister, lands, children, or fields for my sake and the sake of the gospel. And then what does Jesus say? Who will not receive 100 times more now at this time. So talking about this life, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. In other words, God rewarded Ruth's faith here. Ruth counted the cost. And because Ruth chose to follow him, not because she deserved it, but because she went to this God, he's rewarding her faith. And we'll see in the rest of the book of Ruth, he will do that as well, in this passage and moving forward. Ruth came to God and her people, his people, empty-handed. Just the same way I did. Just the same way you did. And in this way, we remember that grace is not a payment. Favor is not a payment. Because of our sin, what we all deserve is death. Grace is not a gold medal for our great moral lives that we live, right? It's not a participation award for being a part of a certain group of people. Grace is a gift from God. What do we deserve in our sin and death? This is what Paul says in Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve to be paid for our sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is a gift. And grace comes through God's covenant kindness. That word kindness that Naomi uses later in the passage refers not just to someone holding the door for someone or speaking polite words to someone, but from unconditional love and favor. Covenant kindness. Do you remember when Moses asked God who he was and how God described himself? God says it this way in Exodus 34. The Lord, is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in, and here's the same word Naomi says for kindness, faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving them over and over again. This is the kindness we're talking about, the kindness that Naomi is finding. We all come to God empty, like Ruth did come to Boaz. God comes to us in Christ so that we might find his grace, the free gift of God in eternal life. Even if we think about this Advent season, right? Grace came to us as a gift. And how does John start at the beginning of his gospel? He says, Jesus was in the world and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But here's grace. Here's what John says. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, Ruth wasn't, or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So another way we can think about this passage, we can think about what's going on here, is if you come to God, you will find the kindness of God embodied in his people. If you come to God, you will find the kindness of God, the endless kindness of God embodied in his people. This is the same for wandering Christians. This is the same for brand new Christians. This is the same if you're seeking in your own heart of who Jesus is and what he's done. Ruth comes back to Naomi later in this passage, as you heard, with all this barley and leftover food. Why? Because Boaz, he did it on purpose. Did you see that? She was just supposed to glean on the corners of the field. And Boaz tells her men, no, let her come right in among the sheaves and pick stuff up. Even leave some on the ground for her. And then what does he do? He roasts, he knows what he's doing. He's a harvester, he's a farmer, right? He roasts more grain than she could eat herself. Why? So that she can take it home to Naomi. And not only that, she could have just gone for one day. This is like 2.5 weeks of food or something that she gathered somewhere around that. He tells her to keep coming back for the barley and the wheat harvest. So remember, the barley harvest just started. This is months and months and months that he's inviting her to come back and gather and glean and glean. I don't know what that is, year, 2 years worth of stuff that she would gather amongst God's people. If you come to him, if you're seeking, if you've never come to him before, if you come to God, you will find endless kindness beyond what you can imagine in his people, like we see in this passage. And often, even for all of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is way more kindness than you realize in the moment, right? Think, look back over your life. Look back when you were early on as a Christian. You see way more kindness of God looking back on it than you did in the moment, right? Look back over your life, all the things God was doing to draw you to himself. I think about that a lot this time of year. I've shared with many of you. God brought me to faith on Christmas Eve. I remember Avery, a carpenter by trade, who invited me over his house, one of the elders of his church, to put together a couch from IKEA. That guy did not need help putting together an IKEA couch. He's a carpenter, but he knew I was lost and empty and seeking, and he just wanted to spend time with me and love on me. Or Aaron, who preached the gospel. Or Matt, who I could confess all my sins to, and he would just meet me with grace. Or Dave, or Corey, or Andy, or all those people. God's kindness to me that I never knew I could find. I had no clue what I was walking into, right? God just saved me. But I want to encourage you, if you're thinking about following Christ, you come to him, you will find all the kindness of God, forgiveness of sins, and all of the kindness you need in this life. Endless kindness amongst God's people. And when all of us, when we look back on our lives, we see way more grace than we did in the moment. This is God's wise and loving providence. God acts in history in two ways. You can think about it this way. He acts in creation. Think about the beginning of Genesis. God created everything out of nothing, right? So that's one way God acts in history to bring about his plans. And then God acts in his providence. Providence is a word for God just continuing to work out all the things he has decreed. Think of how the cross came to pass, how the resurrection came to pass, how Jesus will come back again and make things all right, how God saved you and continues and cares for you. Did you notice how the last chapter ended, that verse I read at the end of chapter 1? So we read this terrible story, this tragedy, right? And then Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, by her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem, which means the house of food, the promised land, as the barley harvest was beginning. And then who do we start this chapter with? Now Naomi had a relative on the husband's side, this guy, Boaz, who's actually a relative, he's a family member. And then we see in verse 3, right in the middle of verse 3, it says, as it turned out, remember, someone's writing this, right? This is a real story that happened. Someone's recounting it. And says, as it turned out, other translations say, it just so happened. Not saying it just so happened, like, look at what God is doing. Look at God's hand over all this thing. And we'll see this way more in the book of Ruth. But even later in verse 20, how Naomi highlights, this guy is a guardian redeemer. This guy is a kinsman redeemer. This is a guy who we might see something else happen with in the end of the story. This might not be the end of the line for Naomi and Ruth after all. So when you look back over your life, or maybe again, maybe you're a visitor here this morning, it just so happens you're here. Just so happens you're hearing the gospel. Just so happens you're amongst God's people where there's endless kindness for you. God is working lovingly to draw sinners to himself that they might be saved and find his kindness now and forever, brothers and sisters. God's providence is like the journal of our life. This is what the author's kind of doing, writing back over, right, looking through. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. Even maybe just an encouragement to journal about your life. Look back at all of God's kindness to you, even in hard seasons. So we've seen those who come to God will find endless kindness amongst his people. It's almost comical to see how far above and beyond Boaz just keeps going and going and going. But we also see in this passage from Ruth's example that grace is something that must be gathered, right? So again, Ruth doesn't just roll into town and then go to the soup kitchen and that's it. Grace is something that must be gathered. Faith comes to God, leaves everything behind, comes to God through faith in Christ, and looks for all the grace that it can get to gather up. It acts. Faith doesn't sit idly. It goes to where it knows it can find grace and works hard like Ruth and gathers up as much as it can get, even amongst God's people in their gatherings. So with all that said, what do you expect to find when you come to God? What do you expect to find when you come to God amongst his people? We can expect to find his endless kindness. And for us now, that means we find his kindness in his church. We find people in his church who love God and love their neighbor as themselves. So wherever you are, throw yourself into God's people. There's grace to gather amongst God's people. Glean it. You can think about it this way. Cling to God by clinging to his people. You feel distant from God, it might often be because you're distant from his people. It might often be because you're disconnected from a church body that knows you and loves you, and you can know them and love them. We see in this passage, we cling to God even by clinging to his covenant people. And on the flip side of this, we see from Boaz, what God's people are to be toward one another, even those who are just coming into the fold. God's people are to be characterized by radical generosity. Boaz reminds me of this guy that Psalm 37 talks of. This is Psalm 37, 25. An old man talking. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. He is always generous, always lending, and his children are a blessing. God's people are known as those who care, love all people, especially the household of God, Paul tells us, right? No needs unmet amongst God's people. So what does that mean for our local church? It means that God's people are kindness embodied. We are embodied kindness, God's kindness embodied to each other. People come to God and into his church empty, as we all did, but they can end up full through the kindness of God's people toward them. Think about Boaz again. This guy, as I read, you might have seen, he seemed to view nothing he had as his own. He was willing to share, to be abundantly generous with all he had. And this is an act of faith of Boaz. Dude, this isn't just because he's some business guy and because he has way too much that he doesn't know what to do with. This is because he trusts in God. This is an act of faith on his part as having means and following God's law and blessing others with that. And we see Boaz do two things that are helpful for us as a local church. We see his words of kindness and his works of kindness. So his words from kindness, he blesses his workers. In verse 4, he comes to Ruth and encourages her young faith. You see that in verses 11 and 12? She's encouraging, look at what you left behind. May God reward your faith. May God bless your faith. He expresses words of care for others. That's what he does when he's talking to his servants about Ruth. So if you're a new follower of Jesus, or if you're considering counting the cost of what it would be to come to God, let me remind you, God will bless you if you come to him. Amen. And let me remind you that you can only come to him empty like Ruth does. We only all come to him from enemy territory. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. And we will find God's kindness if we come to him. This is a great Christmas Advent text from Titus. It's talking about when Jesus came and took on human flesh. And listen to how Paul describes it as the kindness of God. He says in Titus 3:4, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, because we don't have any of those, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. We can think about it this way, brothers and sisters. We're going to be given new resurrected bodies and the new heavens and the new earth. How will God not provide for the needs we have now? What does Paul say in Romans 8? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, sent Jesus to die for us. How will he not with him graciously give us all things? And amongst God's people, his endless kindness towards us. So in Boaz, we see kind words, and we also see kind works. In the same way, we as a local church should be the hands and feet of our head, Jesus. We are to do good to all, especially to the church, the household of God, out of the overflow of grace, the endless grace that we have experienced from God ourselves. One mark of healthy and mature churches is how they love and care for one another, especially for those who are new believers or for those who are struggling. I see so much of that here. I've been so encouraged by that here. God's people are characterized by being a blessing to each other. So may we be like Boaz, always people who believe what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. This is an act of faith to believe this. God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. What's Paul saying there? If you trust you have everything you need for the Lord, you will be a generous person. If we as a church believe we have everything we need from the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and pours it out on his people, we will be kind and generous amongst one another. When someone returning to God through faith in Christ, when they return to God through faith in Christ, they don't just come to him, they come into his people. So if someone comes to faith here and they come into our fellowship, into our congregation, they don't just come to God through Christ, they come into us, his people, part of this body. So us being like that, it won't always fix everything, right? We can't fix every injustice in the world. We can't fix every need everyone has. And it doesn't happen quickly, even the things we can help with. But with God, there is always more kindness to come. There's always more kindness to come with God. Look with me to close at the end of this chapter. Look at me at verse 20. So Ruth has come back to Naomi. What does Naomi say? The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing kindness. Who is she talking about when she says he, by the way? Not sure, looking at that text. Maybe she might be talking about God or both. Maybe it's ambiguous on purpose. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He is not showing kindness to the living and the dead. Gloriously true of both God and Boaz. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth, the Moabite, author reminds us again, said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Far more than Naomi could have ever asked or imagined God would do. Verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it would be good for you, my daughter, to go with the woman who worked for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So notice Naomi there. There's still big problems for Naomi and Ruth. They still have no provider. They still have no protector. Ruth comes home, and there's still two widows living alone in God's promised land, still with huge needs. But there is always more of God's kindness to come, brothers and sisters. Verse 23, so Ruth stayed close to the woman of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So no, I won't give a spoiler alert if you don't know Ruth. You could go read it, but there's always more of God's kindness to come. It is endless. Go for eternity. So certainly go for this life. For all of us too, he's doing that way more than we can ask or imagine in any area of our lives. The question is, when we come to him, what do we expect to find? Do we trust him to provide for all our needs? Do we trust him as the source, the fountain of overflowing endless kindness, the one who sent Christ as his act of kindness to us? So come to him, whether it's the first time or again and again and again, and you will find endless kindness, even amongst his covenant people. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, in this Advent season, we are focused much on Christ's first coming for us. And it is so striking how Paul puts it there. When the kindness of our God and Savior appeared, your love towards mankind. God, we thank you for being abundantly, overflowing, endlessly kind towards us. All you ask us to do, all we can do, is to receive it. Receive that kindness as a gift, not as something we've earned by any good works we've done, not by being a part of a certain group of people, not of being a part of a family who has trusted in the Lord for generations and generations. All of us on our own, you call all of us to, no matter where we've been, to receive this gift of grace that is Christ, your Son. So God, we thank you for your covenant people. We thank you for our local church here who loves you and loves your word, and who, God, who you keep pouring out kindness amongst us through the brothers and sisters here. Would you keep doing that? And God, would you cause the kindness that we show to others, that we embody to others, to bring others into the fold for the first time? Would they see your kindness in our words and our works towards them? And would they come to trust in the God who has endless kindness for those who come to him? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. That's why I trust him, that's why I trust him, I saw. heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior.
Remember, no matter where you've been, if you come to God, you will find endless kindness, forgiveness of sins, whatever you need, fellowship, loneliness. If you'd like to talk about that after or pray, I'd love to, any of the elders, we'd love to talk and pray with you. I want to thank our team who was at the Winter Festival yesterday. I think we had 16, 17 people. We had 100 little like evangelistic books that shared the gospel. Those went in like the first 2 hours. Handed out a lot more invites to our services. So keep praying that God would bring fruit from that people would find the kindness of God in Christ. On that note as well, we have these beautiful invitations that Julie helped us print up. So on one side it says, "The King is coming." That's the Christmas Eve sermon title at the end of Ruth. And on the opposite side, there's invites for our Christmas Eve service time and our normal service times. So those are on the Next Step table out there. Go nuts, grabbing them, take them. Really, if you'll take them, maybe take five and tell yourself, I'm going to give them to five people this week, or 10, whatever. We have a bunch out there. These are great little things just to give family members, friends, invite them to come worship and find the kindness of God with us. Other than that, there are a few other announcements inside your bulletin in the front there of different, there's a women's event coming up on January 10th that you can sign up for. We do have our Christmas Eve service coming up. There'll be no nursery or child care for that. That's at 5 p.m. We'll just have everyone in here. But we look forward to worship with you. Also, we have a membership class that will be coming up starting sometime in January or February. We'll get you dates and signups for that soon if you're interested in membership. If you're a newcomer as well, there are little welcome cards inside your pews. Or if you just want to know more about our church, more about what we're doing, you can stop at our table out there. There's lifesavers. We might have to buy more lifesavers. Sorry, Rebecca. But there's good lifesavers. I even have candy cans. I put candy cans out, left over from yesterday. But we'd love to just you see what's going on in our church and get to meet you and greet you. Let's hear our benediction today from Psalm 72. This is a great, actually, Advent-type Christmas psalm. All about the Lord's reign continuing to come. I'll just read a few verses here. This is Psalm 72, verse 17 through 19. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all the nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Even in the quiet corner, brothers and sisters. Let's sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Good to worship with you this morning.